Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 321, Draw Near, Part 2. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, June 11th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Last week, we talked about draw near to God, right? And that was Part 1. Today is Part 2. We focused on how Jesus made a way for us through the blood on the cross. That because of sin, right? Sin separated us from the Father. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And because of the sin, that's a big problem. There was a big sin problem. Because the wages of sin is death, right? Meaning spiritual death, being separated, being far away from God, because he can't be coexisting with sin. He's holy, he's set apart, right? And so Jesus became our high priest. This is just a little review if you didn't hear the message, or just even if you did, reviews are good. He became our high priest, doing away with the Old Testament requirement of the law to come and bring sacrifices and sin offerings. And so the high priest had to do that, to bring those sacrifices for himself and for the people. But Jesus made a way by dying on the cross for us so that we could draw near to God. Now, remember we talked about that the veil was torn, the veil in the temple, in the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, signified the separation between God and man. And when Jesus died on the cross, it says in Matthew 27 that the veil was torn from top to bottom, signifying no more separation between man and his between God and his beloved creation, man and women. And so, praise the Lord. That means Jesus' blood made a way for you and for I to have intimacy with the Father. We can boldly then approach the throne of grace without hesitation, without reserve. Oh, did I do my sacrifices? I need a spotless lamb. Jesus, we have the spotless lamb. Jesus is our spotless lamb. So today we're just going to go deeper in this topic of intimacy with the Lord. How do we develop an intimate relationship with God? Because Jesus died, like we sang about, Lamb of God, forever glorified. He was crucified. He went through a terrible death for you and for me. So let's not take that in vain. Let's enjoy the intimacy that his sacrifice on the cross paid for. He made a way for you. Are you taking advantage and walking in that way to commune with the Father, to commune with the Holy Spirit? It's a rhetorical question. We can all ask ourselves. And believe me, you know, I sort of, just to be honest, had some conviction going through this message. I think we can all come up higher. We never exhaust the limit of the depth of relationship where he wants to take us. We can always go deeper. We can always go higher. We're never going, until we get to his presence and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, then that's the fullness, right? But here on earth, let's just dive in for more and more. Are you hungry for that intimacy with him? Are you hungry to connect with him in new, fresh ways? Because he wants to do that every day. Every day. So our key passage, we'll just jump right in. This is where we kind of camped out last week as well, is Hebrews 10. Who likes camping? We're going to camp. We're going to camp right here in Hebrews 10. I mean, I'll give some other scriptures, but this is the main thing. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Lord Jesus, thank you for this word. Thank you for this passage of scripture that is so deep. It's so rich. Help us, Holy Spirit, to squeeze out all that you have for us in this today. Thank you, Lord, for just opening up a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for bringing revelation to each heart. Let these words, the words of my mouth that you give me to speak, let them illuminate our hearts that we may know you better and go deeper with you. We thank you and we praise you for transforming our lives today by the power of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so verse 22 is really where we're going to zoom in even more on this section. So in NLT, I'm just going to read that verse 22 again. This is Hebrews 10. It says, let us go. Let us go. We're going to go. Run, run, run. Charge, Marge. We can be a charge, Marge. We can let us go in right into the presence of God. No more sacrifices. No more having to be perfect with the perfect sacrifice prepared and offering. Jesus did that for us. So let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Fully trusting him. We go in faith, right? Our relationship with him is by faith. It's through faith. It's not like a friendship that I can see Jerica and talk with her and touch her. It's by faith. He's a spirit being. So listen to it in the Passion. It says, verse 22, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart. Is your heart open today or every day? Approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. I like that. Being fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. We can go right into his presence. Praise the Lord. No limits. Taking the limits off. If they're in your mind, we take them off. Take them off. That's why we're being washed by the word. We're getting our minds renewed. There's no limit for you and for me to go into the presence of God. We can be fully convinced that nothing will keep us away from his presence, that he wants to hang out with us. How cool is that? He wants to love on you, like Sister Elizabeth said. He wants to comfort you. All right, and listen to NIV version of Hebrews 10:22. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. So we can have that full assurance, be fully convinced, trusting him, that we can go right into his presence. So as I was studying this, I go deep in one section, sometimes even just one verse. And so the Lord kind of had me tear this apart with who, what, where, why, how, because I'm a teacher and, you know, who, what, where, that's good, right? Like, so when I was studying this, I was looking at this verse, he said, who? The let us draw near to God, right? We're going to focus on the NLT version of the verse 22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Who? Who's the who of that? We are. First, let's talk about the other who, the more important of the two. The two who's. Sounds like Dr. Seuss. God, right? Who are we drawing near to? To God, to the presence of the living God who made a way, right, through Jesus. He made a way for us. So we're not drawing near to to your mother, to your spouse, to your sibling, to your pastor, to your friend, to anybody else, to your phone. Draw near to God. Are you troubled? Do you have questions? Draw near to God. Run to the throne, not the phone, I've heard some people say. Right? Is it Joyce Meyer that says that, maybe? I don't know. Run to the throne, not the phone. When you have a problem, when you have a circumstance that comes up, when your credit card gets denied and everybody's looking at you like, lady, what's your deal? Hurry up. Run to God, the presence of God. God, what do I do? What do I do, right? Because people can love on you. Even people with the best intentions, your pastor, your friend, you know, spirit-filled fellow sister or brother in the Lord, your cell group leader, they can love on you, they can encourage you, they can speak uplifting words, they can give you a word, and they can also, people can discourage you and speak death, right? Which isn't a good thing. But only he, only the living God will truly give you what you need. Amen? He will give you what you need. Right? Unconditionally, and he will satisfy you. He's above it all. Sorry, well, good thing my husband stepped out of the room for a second. I was going to say, sorry, honey, but God, the living God satisfies me fully, you know? Like, he is my all in all, more than your spouse, more than anyone else. He's the one. So he's the one that we draw near to. Draw near to God. A person may seem easier to connect with because, like we talked about, they're in the flesh and you can see them and you can talk to them and you can feel them and you can smell them and, you know, all the senses, right? They're right there with you. But God wants, he created you inside and out, and he wants that intimate connection with you. And we just need a greater revelation of the presence of God in our lives, that we carry him with us and that we can connect to him any moment. And so I remember a lot in my beginning walk with the Lord, I think I looked a lot to people, and I had great disciple makers that would turn me, go to Jesus and then we'll talk. Go talk to the Lord about that and then we'll talk. And that's a really good thing. And if you're discipling somebody, turn them to Jesus. You don't have all the answers. Or show them, model, let's pray together. Let's pray in the Spirit together. Show them how to get the answers. Show them how you press into God. Show them how you look up things in the Word. Right? But we're nobody's Jesus. Everybody's got to draw near to him, to the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord, each for his own. Right? Amen? You guys are quiet today. You all right? Okay, you're just taking it in. Help him, Holy Spirit. Help us take this in, what you have for us. Because only he's got a perfect plan and a will and a purpose for your life, right? Isn't that Jeremiah 29:11? You've got a hope and a future. Right? And he and somewhere else in the Bible it says his will is good and perfect and pleasing. He knows. He's got that perfect, good, and pleasing will for you. So we've got to press into him for that. He speaks the truth over you all the time. He is the most positive one ever. He always thinks good thoughts of you. Always thoughts of love. I want that. Amen. I want that all the time. I want truth all the time. So I can run to him. It takes time to build. It takes time to build a relationship. Just like it does when you're meeting a new friend. Or, you know, like you're courting a spouse relationship or something. It takes time to build that, to go deep with somebody, to learn that you can trust them, right? And so I just encourage us today to spend time. Even, it doesn't matter if you got saved yesterday, spend time. And remember a few weeks ago we talked about baby steps? Just take baby steps. in spending time with him. I've had to do this and it's helped me. It like releases the pressure. You don't have to spend 8 hours a day, you know, praying and reading. If you can do that, praise the Lord and do that. And that's what he's calling to you to do. Or maybe there'll be different seasons. But if you do 5 minutes, if you haven't done any, but you start doing 5 minutes of reading his word and maybe 5 minutes of praying in tongues and then 5 minutes of sitting in silence or 5 minutes of worship and do 20 minutes or whatever you can do, or 10 if that's your total amount of time, and do that every day consistently and work that and spend time soaking in his presence and being with him and letting his word touch you. Don't let it knock you out. But it is a sword, right? Amen. It'll divide your heart. It'll convict you. But let's just spend time getting to know him, hanging out. Because the more time you spend, the more genuine, the more real it'll become, the more understanding, the more real his presence will be. This revelation of like, he's really here with me and I carry him everywhere I go. Trust will be built and he'll become your number one source. It may not happen overnight, but let's seek him. Let's seek after his presence. And so somebody had said the other part of the second part of the who is you. The yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo, it's you. We have to draw near to God. He's the first who of that part. We're the other part. We've got to do it. Nobody else can do it for you. I'd love to do it for you, but I got my own. I want to do my relationship with Jesus. And we each have to do that. We're each on our own with him. Seek him. He made a way for you. The path is wide open and clear. He created you. He loves you. And he beckons you into a deeper relationship. Come, my child. Come, I want to speak to your heart. He says, Deb, I want to speak to your heart. I want to give you answers. I want to just take off the pressure that it's all about you, that it's all about something that you have to do. He wants to say that to us. He wants to speak mysteries to our heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Wow. We've got to do it. So he's the first who, and we're the second who. Two you-whos. It's a good pair. The sky is the limit when we partner up with the living God. Me and the Holy Spirit, me and the Lord God, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. Pew, fireworks. You and the Almighty God, Maker of heaven and earth. Pew, victory in your life. When you're doing this every day, when you're seeking him, when you're spending intimate time in his presence. James 4:8, you know, back it up. We all say James, we quote a lot James 4:7, which is submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I love that verse. That's a preaching for another day. But keep reading, like don't stop there, because verse 8 is really good too, right? It says, come close to God and God will come close to you. In other versions, I think it says, draw near to God, just like the message. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and it goes on, right? So being close to our Lord through prayer, that's just a conversation, prayer just communicating with him. We can feel his comforting embrace that we need no matter what we're facing. We could be like Paul, persecuted, bloody, beaten, terrorized, you know, all the things, shipwrecked, but yet we sing, lift our voices and sing praises to him. We're seeking him. We're communing with him. Come close to God and God will come close to you and he'll do amazing things. By seeking out those intimate moments with him, we open ourselves up to hear his voice. Like, God, I need you. What would you say to me right now? What do you say to me right now? I want to hear your voice. And to experience his peace, his comfort, His joy, whatever you're needing, whatever fruit of the Spirit you're needing, bring it on, God. Bring it on. Right? All right, so we covered the who. Let's go to where. Positioning, right? We're drawing near to God. Position yourself. Remember last week? Near! Grover, Sesame Street, anybody? Do you ever watch Sesame Street? No? Okay, there's a little blue puppet, for anybody that doesn't know, a little blue puppet named Grover, and he's teaching the kids near and far. Near! Far! And he's like, goes way back in the screen, right? Where are we drawing? We're drawing near to God. We're drawing close to his presence. We all know when we've kind of drifted away, right? And like a sailboat that kind of drifts off to sea, and you're like, how did I get out here? It's not God that moves, I'll just tell you. He's always with us. It's us. We just kind of easily just drift away, right? So draw near. I'm going to do it one more time. Just make sure you're awake. Near! I should do far first, right? Far! I don't want to like fall over, knock into something. That would not be graceful. That would be like preacher blooper reel. Oh my gosh. We're drawing near. It's a heart thing. It's a spirit thing, like we talked about, because he is spirit and he is truth. So it's not a physical near, like I can be near Jerrica and Sapphira, right? I can be close to them, but it's a heart thing. It's a heart posture, positioning. Sorry, live streamers, I went off. Could you still see me? No, sorry, I forget. It's all good. Okay, I'm going all over today, so just bear with me. It's not a physical nearness, it's our heart. We've got to keep our heart soft to him. Position your heart. It's about, what are you thinking? What thoughts are we thinking? What are you thinking about? Right? Don't let your thoughts sink you. Don't let your thoughts sink the boat. Meditate on his word. It is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Thank you. Sometimes I mix those two words up. Yes, turn your affection toward him. Turn your affection to the heart of the Father. Depend on him, not on yourself, not on your flesh, not on your logic, not on your own thinking. Let's depend on him. Let's not do our own thing, because then we find ourselves, I've like drifted away here. We got to keep ourselves open and teachable, humble before him. Like, teach me, show me. We need to be in an open posture. I'm not talking about a physical posture. I'm talking about heart posture. Where's your heart positioned toward him? Are you ready to receive correction? Because he wants to correct us. Let's just admit, we don't have it all perfect and together, right? So read the word and let him correct me, Lord, when I need to be corrected. I'd rather be corrected by him than, I don't know, embarrass myself or, you know, like have him knock me off the horse. I'd rather come down on my own when he convicts me with his word. You know what I mean? Rather than just have me, like, I tried to tell you, and then he has to knock me off my horse, you know, and I'm embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God will never humiliate us, but sometimes our own actions get us in positions where we're setting ourselves up for humiliation. Let him correct you. Let him correct you with the word. He's gentle when he does. Well, maybe not for everybody. I don't know. He's different with everybody. Maybe some he might smack upside the head, but just let him do it. A smack upside the head from the Holy Spirit, guess what? He does it in love. He does it because he loves you, and he doesn't want you to have to be knocked off your horse. He doesn't want you to fall and stumble, right? He doesn't. He's so good. So even when, I think it's important to talk about drawing near when things get hard, when things get tough, kind of what Sister Elizabeth was talking about today, that it's so important. I mean, we have opportunities, especially when things get tight and things are, circumstances are squeezing in around us, and you know, the situation seems bleak or dark or not the way that you prayed, there's such a temptation to maybe have our hearts be hardened. I'm not alone in that, right? To have our heart be, I'm just talking real, to have our heart be hardened and like, why God? Why are you doing this? Why am I seeing this dark situation? Like Habakkuk, like we talked about some months ago. Like, why do all I see is injustice and bloodshed and terrible things around me when this is not what I've prayed for? You know, this is not what I've, you know, been waiting for. In those moments, it's like a sacrifice of praise. But I tell you what, when you draw near and bring your heart near, even when you have questions, even when you have pain, even when you have grief, oh man. Oh, I feel the presence of God. It's just, there's something really deep and special that gets built in with your relationship with him when you go deep in those moments. And I've been there, friends. I've been there. And it's tempting to harden your heart and say, God, I remember a time, like, just, I remember a particular worship time where I was like just struggling so much with something. And it was like, I can't even look at you, God. Like, I can't look at you in the face because I'm just like upset. Like, I'm just like mad about this injustice in my life. And like, I keep praying and this thing doesn't move and this mountain doesn't move. And like, I can't turn and look at you really. And do you remember that, Sister Tanya? She was involved and used by the Holy Spirit. And there's something about just staying close and not running away and not freaking out when you get to that place. Just like, well, help me, Holy Spirit. Like, just help me. Help me continue to stay in a posture where I am close to you. And I keep my heart open to you, even though I don't understand. And I just surrender that question to you. Those question marks. I surrender the confusion. I surrender the injustice. I surrender the discouragement. I surrender all that stuff that just like feels like a big elephant in between me and you that doesn't allow me to look at you in the face. I'm not alone, right? You have those moments. And that is a thing, that elephant, like, let's get a bow and arrow and shoot that elephant because that can separate us. Get it out of the way, right? And so I remember that it was like he just came so near to me because I was like, I can't look at you. And he's like, you can. And he just like turned my face. And it almost was like a physical thing. Like, you can position yourself to keep looking at me, even though you don't understand and there's pain involved. And so I just encourage you, draw near, especially when you're in a moment like that. Especially because he will meet you there in your time of need. He will meet you where you're questioning. If you keep your heart soft, if you don't raise a fist and say, why God, I can't believe you're doing this, or I can't believe you've done this. Keep your heart tender toward him. Stay close in that intimate place. And it's okay. He says, it's okay to be real with me. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to pour your heart out and cry it out. He says, do that with me. Do that with me. I can take it. He's Jesus. He can take it. So be real. Take the mask off so that you can come to him with a sincere heart. Because, and that goes to the next word, like, is how, you know, it says we go with a sincere heart into his presence. Because we're upset because we haven't gotten the answer to our prayer, or we haven't seen our breakthrough yet, if we allow that to come between us, then we're going to put on, there's going to be a falseness there. There's going to be some distance, like separation. Have you ever felt like with a friend, like something's off? Like, why are they, you know, like maybe there's a tension in a relationship or something, and it's like, something, I just sense something different. Well, we can do that in our relationship with him. We can turn slightly because, well, you haven't given me my way and I'm going to just pout over here. I mean, I say it funny, but you know, but I've done it and I've had to repent. Sorry for my pouting, Lord. I trust you. I trust you and I get my heart back. I get my heart back close to you and I keep it open and soft to you because, okay, I'm in this thing that I don't see like moving, this situation or whatever, but what do you want to teach me in it? You turn beauty, you turn ashes into beauty, right? So take this ash of a situation and turn it into beauty. Like, do something. What do you want to do? What do you want to teach me? If you dare to ask that question, he's going to show you. And he's going to rip stuff off and mold you. And man, the fire of God will purify you. Yeah, it's a good thing. So Psalm 16, verse 11, I love Psalm 16. This verse has really ministered to me in those moments of like being upset where I could raise a fist to God, right? But Psalm 16 has just steadied my heart. And in the Passion Translation, in verse 11, it says, "Because of you, I know the path of life." I'm going to say that again. "Because of you, Lord, I know the path of life. As I taste the fullness of joy in your presence, at your right side, I experience divine pleasures forevermore." Wow. That's talking about getting close in his presence, right? Amen. And even when you have darkness around you and hard situations and a mountain that doesn't seem to be moving, he says, "You're on the path of life. As long as you keep your heart soft and you stay close to me and you stay open to me, the path of life," that's what he spoke to me. He said, "You're on the path of life. So don't think that you're going to be dried up and bitter even if I answer the prayer some other way and you don't get the exact answer to the prayer that you've been asking me. Fear not. You're on the path of life. All of us are on the path of life. And we can taste the fullness of joy in his presence. So even if it's hard, even if it looks different, stay close to him because there will be life there. He will show you. Even when you're like, oh, what's the next step? I don't know. He's going to show you. And you'll put your foot down, trusting, and it's going to be, oh, there's life there. You're on the path of life with each step you take, the path of life. As long as you stay close to the Holy Spirit, as long as you're positioning yourself to draw near to him, right? I'm speaking to you from experience because I've had to do this, right? And he says, then you'll taste the fullness of joy in his presence. At your right side, it says, I experience divine pleasures forevermore. Even when I'm walking through hardship and trial, divine pleasures forevermore. But it comes from seeking him, staying close, drawing near. Amen? Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the how is with a sincere heart. We talked about, you know, taking the mask off, being real with him. God hates hypocrisy. He hates when we pretend, right? Didn't he call the Pharisees whitewashed tombs? That because they were just pretending? They just had a facade, just like a mask? He'll just come gently to you and say, just take off the mask, just with me. Be who you really are with me. You can't hide anyway. Right. He loves honesty. He loves truth, and he's going to give you truth. He loves when you are truthful about what's in your heart, what you're dealing with. Be vulnerable with him. You can trust him. It's about surrendering your whole heart. That's what sincere heart. You go to him with a sincere heart. He'll meet you there. He'll bring comfort, strength, direction. Love and peace will come because that's who he is. He's the Prince of Peace, and God is love, right? And so you'll be commune with the God who is love, who is with you and around you and inside of you. And peace, his shalom peace, will overtake you as you stay close, as you stay real and vulnerable with him. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The Lord is near, Grover says. Can't you see Grover like reenacting this verse? The Lord is near to all who call on him. So call on him. We already talked, Jesus made a way through his blood for you to do that, to call on the Father. The Lord is near to you when you call on him. He will answer in your time of trouble. I'm thinking of all these verses. There's so many verses we could go really deep with all of just talking about God's presence and us seeking him, us seeking his presence. All right, moving on. What are we talking about? Like, what does drawing near look like? Okay, let me just give a disclaimer. It's not a cookie cutter. Drawing near for me is going to look different than each of you. And that's okay, because he created us differently, right? We all learn differently. We all process information differently. And so how I commune with God is going to be different, and like my strongest tendency or way that I connect with him might be different than your strongest way. And we can learn other ways, and the Holy Spirit wants us to explore with him, you know, how do you speak to me, God? You know, out in nature, some people, that's their number one. Talk to Miss Tanya, you know? Revelation through studying and learning about God's creation and being in his, you know, in what he created, and having God bring that alive to you. Worshiping, being on your face before him, being silent. And we can explore, like, why not explore all these ways to commune with him? He's a creative God. And so I remember when I was in youth with a mission in YWAM, we would, you know, having worship, and they would like give us different, you know, like, scarves. Okay, worship with scarves today, or worship with pastels, and we would like draw and paint, and there would be worship music happening, and other times it would like just worship with the markers that I give you, you know, worship with your body, like just be creative and ask him, how do you want me to hang out with you right now? How do you want me to worship you? How do you want me to connect with you right now? So we don't need to compare, because it's going to be different. We all need the word, right? And so all of us, and however that looks, we should all be digging into the word. And if that overwhelms you, baby steps. Go back and listen to the baby step message, little bit at a time, right? But his word is so important for us to study and meditate. We can ask him for revelation, because his word is life and it's healing to all our flesh. And his word sets us free. Knowing the truth will set us free. You can sing hymns. We've been exploring here corporately with singing in the Spirit. Do that at home. Are you practicing singing in the Spirit at home? It doesn't matter how loud or soft you are. When you're by yourself, let it flow, man. I'm washing the dishes, and my dishes hear all kinds of stuff. Yeah, and I'm like experimenting even with my voice and like what I can do, and like singing and in the Spirit, and it's fun. It's fun with him. Sing hymns and spiritual songs, making music to one another, right? If somebody's around or by yourself. I remember one time I was in a just quiet time praying with the Lord and singing in the Spirit, and he gave me this verse, running to your arms. And it just became like a thing. And I was just singing it in different ways, like running to your arms, running to your arms. I'm like running into your arms, like running into your presence. And man, he ministered to me so deeply in that, you know? So just have him highlight something to you, and it'll take you into, whether it's a scripture, and maybe he says, I don't know, he says a word, faithful. You just keep hearing faithful, faithful. Go do a word study on faithful and read scriptures on that, or sing in the Spirit about faithful, how he's faithful. Help me to be faithful, you know? So it can be, the what of drawing near can be, look many different ways. Give your heart to him. Empty your heart before him. Sit in silence sometimes too. I think that's hard. That's probably the hardest one for me. It's a practice. It's a discipline. Don't just get up. Okay, God, I'm done. But sit a little bit longer and see what he would say back to you. Sit in silence. Let him speak to your heart. Let him respond to you. Can you imagine? You're like, you're closing your journal and your Bible and your pastels or whatever, however you've connected with him, and he's like, and you're walking away and doing the next thing and making your to-do list. Help me, Jesus. You know, and he's like, okay, I guess I don't get to say that today. Oh, man, conviction. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus, right? Few more minutes each day. Sit, and so you can hear. Stay there till you hear his voice. Maybe we need to get up earlier. Praise God. Help us, Lord, so we have time to do it. Or at the end of the day, it doesn't have to always be at the morning. Something special about the morning, and the word talks about that. But whatever works for you, just get into his presence. Don't complicate it. Just run to his arms. Just run into his arms. All right. Jeremiah 29, it's right after the verses that we quote a lot. This is 12 and 14. It says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, like with a sincere heart, your whole heart, you will find me. I will be found by you. This is a promise. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. Wow. I was reading this and studying this and I was like, oh man, this is deep for me. Because it reminds me of me seeking God when I was serving in the YWAM ministry, Youth with a Mission organization. And there was a specific time in those years that I was there that I took a time out because I just like hit a wall spiritually, and there was so much that God wanted to do. And I took a time out and I went to a YWAM school at another city in Argentina. And I went to this school of restoration. Basically, it was a lot of, you know, I received inner healing, and it was a counseling school. And I was just seeking restoration. And during that five-month school, the Lord really ministered to me that he is the lover of my soul, that I don't need any other person to, people can encourage me, but they're not where my value comes from. Somebody else's applause of me, an affirmation of me, is not what I live for. And that's not where my value comes from. So he really was ministering that deep and hard to me that he's the lover of my soul, right? And that only he can fill a certain place in my heart. Only Jesus. Only him. Right? And I would, several times, I remember this. It was a special season. The Lord had me wake up. Maybe I've told this before, wake up in the wee hours. And I lived in a community house. There'd be anywhere from like 30 people living in this big Italian style old home in Argentina. And I would wake up, and sometimes I would set my alarm and I would go downstairs and go into our, like, it was our all purposes where we ate. It's the where we had our classes and the study room. But it was, the floor was like marble, like different colors. I should find a picture of it. It's a really like regal looking. Like if you've moved all the furniture out of it, it'd be like this. Have you ever seen the movie Fantasia? But like just like a ballroom, like this fancy regal ballroom. And I would go into there, and it would be sad when there would be kids. Students studying, we'd have like a test or a paper due, and I'm like, guys, get your stuff done, because they'd be in the room, and I'd like steal my intimate place with the Lord. But sometimes I would have to think, oh, there's nothing due, like no assignments due, so okay, I'm going to go, nobody's going to be there, and I have my, it's 3 a.m., you know? And so I would just dance with the Lord there in that place, in that ballroom. I would put on some music and just like be intimate with him, just like share. I would take my Bible and my journal and he would speak to me. And it was just like precious, precious time. And at the end of that school, the end of that time, we had the leaders did a prophetic worship time, a prophetic night to minister to the students. And they had like different stations set up. And they just said, we're going to just start to worship, and we're just going to, and they showed us what the different stations were. There was like a washing of the feet station where like they had it set up a beautiful like waterfall, and you'd step into this pool and they'd have somebody there ministering. So there were different staff members like in each of the stations. There was somewhere to like wash your hands and different areas. And while we were worshiping, so they said, we're going to just start worshiping. And they had musicians there playing music. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit just lead and, you know, show us what to do. And then when you feel led to go to one of these stations and, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Well, we're getting deeper into worship and the Holy Spirit starts saying to me, will you dance with me? And this is, we're in the room where I go down in the night hours to dance with him alone, but it's me and him, like nobody else is there, right? And he says, will you dance with me? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, will you dance with me? And I was, it just got louder and louder. And I was like, well, there's lots of people around. Like, what do you want me to do, Lord? I don't think I can dance with you like the way I dance with you when nobody's here, you know, at 3 a.m. It's like me and secret, you know, private. It's a private thing. It's intimate. And he said, will you dance with me? Like, you're going to leave me? Like, you're going to just stand me up? I was like, no, I'm not. I'm like shaking inside, right? No, I'm not going to stand you up. I'm not going to leave you alone. He's like, you know, like a gentleman at a dance. I don't know, ballroom dancing. Like, will you dance with me? And he's just standing there, like waiting, like, you're going to leave me hanging, you know? And then all of a sudden, I saw the face of one of the male staff. He was staff in the team that ministered to us. His face flashed before me, and I was like, you want me to dance with him? Like, and he was like, will you dance with me? And I'm at this point, like, bawling, right? And I'm just like, okay. So I'm shaking, and I'm crying, and this is like, and I go up to this staff member. Everybody's still, you know, standing there worshiping, and I go up to the staff member, and I, you know, tap him or something. And he turns around, and I'm just crying. I'm just a crying mess, and he's just looking at me, you know, just like patient and, okay, collect myself. And I mustered out in Spanish, broken, crying, ugly cry, Spanish, that the Lord showed me, he invited me to dance. Will you stand in proxy with the Lord and dance with me? And he said, yes, of course. And so he, you know, real like regal style, you know, like ballroom style, like, and we danced. And I just closed my eyes. I don't know if people were seeing. I mean, probably somebody saw, right? But I, oh, that poor man, like I snotted all over his shirt because, I mean, I was just, I mean, the Lord was ministering that whole time of like, I'm the only one that you need. I'm the lover of your soul. I'm the one that satisfies you. So that was like the cherry on the cake of like, dance with me because I'm all you need. You know, it was beautiful. It was so beautiful and it was so healing. And so I guess I tell you that story just to say, just trust him with your heart. You can trust him with your heart of whatever you're needing. Stay, keep your heart open and soft and supple to him, teachable, and he'll do things like that, an amazing way to minister to the deep wounds or hurts of your soul. And it was amazing. Later, you know, talking about that, the staff member and his wife, he said, you know, we were praying beforehand, and he said that the Holy Spirit told him something different's going to happen. Just be ready for it. That's what he told him. So when he said, when you came up to me and you were just crying, he said, I knew that was it. That was something different that was going to happen. It was just a beautiful, really special moment, intimate moment. me and the Lord. Oh my gosh, it is late. You guys all right for a few more minutes? You're okay? All right. So real quick, I just wanted to say, you know, I think it's important that we talk about when you seek the Lord and when you go after him, we're going to be challenged. This is not to cause fear in anyone, but we must be ready, be prepared to stand and stand your ground and say, no, I'm running into the presence of God. No lie, nothing is going to keep me away from that, right? Because the defeated one, the devil, Satan, will attack you with your to-do list, with lies of your, I think a big one is unworthiness, of feeling unworthy. Like, what gives you, this your frail and weak one, the right to expect that the one who spoke the world into existence is going to meet with you and meet your needs? Like, this feeling of, who am I? Like, that's from the accuser. He's the father of lies. He says that our weakness disqualifies us. But Jesus says, I love you, and I call you unto myself, right? His word says, because we studied this last week, Hebrews 4:14-16, so then we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So take that, devil. I am worthy to meet with him. Unworthiness, go in Jesus' name. All lies that say that I can't go into the presence of God, that I can't be loved by him, that I can't receive something from the heart of the Father, that's a lie and it's got to go. And so we just need to be prepared to fight those things, against those lies, and don't let it stop you. Go, Grover, puppet Grover again, near, and go near. Just full speed ahead, right? No lies. I think another common one is condemnation. Like, it kind of goes along, similar to that example of a lie that could come to your head, like, what makes you who have sinned, you have messed up royally, like the devil wants to take your face and smear it down in your own mess, you know, and say, look what you've done. You've done this. How do you think you're going to meet with God? How do you think, you know, you're going to receive anything from help from the Almighty God? Well, shut up, devil. Maybe you need to hear the word again, Mr. Devil. I'm going to say it again. Let us come boldly. The word of God says, Hebrews 4, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. I'm washed in the blood. Yes. Take that. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. If that's what we believe, let us hold firmly and not let that take us out from intimacy with the Father. Amen? Amen. Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation. Say it with me. No condemnation. Right? For those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You're freed from that. Freed from that. So run to his presence. Draw near. Nothing's holding you back. Not even the devil's lies. They can't stop me. They can't stop you. Run right past him with the word of God. Yes, because we are more valuable to him than any other created thing. You are more valuable to him than anything else. He cares for you eternally, unconditionally. He always has, and he always will. He loves you. He loves you, Carol. He loves you. He loves you. Run to his presence. He invites you and all of us to come boldly to his presence, to his throne of grace, to find mercy and help, everything we need. Okay. So whatever the lie is that you struggle with, maybe it's busyness and like, you know, I got to get all this stuff done. I don't have time to be with God and blah, you know, whatever the lie is that holds you back or holds you away, ask God to give you a, you know, this is the sword. Ask him to give you a weapon from the sword of the Spirit that you can fight that lie with. So you overcome that lying pattern that keeps you away from his heart. Or if you related to, you know, the circumstances not lining up and the mountain not moving, and if that's the thing, like the big white elephant between you and God, like, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you healed me, God? You know, if there's some like frustration there, get a promise from his word and fight with that, and don't let that keep you away from his presence. Don't let that keep you away. Let's draw near, church, as the day, the end of time, as Jesus is coming back, as the day draws near, let us draw near to him. We need him, church. Yes. Man, we need him. Individually, we need him. Corporately, we need him. Yes. Let's draw near to the lover of our souls, our deliverer, our strong tower, our rear guard, our healer. Just draw near. Draw near. Everybody say, draw near.
Draw near.
Praise the Lord. Okay, just listen to these verses, and then I'll close. We're going to have some testimonies today. Psalm 73. Oh, I love this so much. Psalm 73, 23 through 28. It says, yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart, and he is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. Amen. Isn't that great? You can read that again. The whole psalm is really great. Psalm 73. That was 23 to 28. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we come to you with humble hearts, and we just thank you that you have made a life-giving way for us to approach your throne with boldness and with grace, to find mercy and time that we need. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you. We love you, Father God. We love you, Holy Spirit. I just pray over each person. Father, the desire, the hunger would increase to draw near to your presence. That even when things get hard, when things get tough, when things are happening around us that we don't understand, that we don't harden our hearts, but that we keep our heart open in a position to receive from you, to hear from you, to minister to your heart as you minister to ours. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming with your comfort when we need it, for coming with your peace when we need it, pouring your love over us when we need it, because you are in us. Give us a revelation, Father, of your presence with us, Holy Spirit, that you live inside of us, that we can run boldly to the throne of grace anytime because you are with us. And you are for us, and you've made a way for that. Let us not take in vain and just let it sit there, the path before us, the path of life, that as we draw near, we will find that path of life. We will find joy in your presence forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to seek you. Help us to not compare ourselves to somebody else and how they're seeking you. Father, to seek you and we will find you, your word says. Knock and the door will be open to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for just blessing my brothers and sisters with a deeper intimacy, that we go after you with all that we are, with sincere hearts, taking the masks off. I pray a depth and a width and a breadth in our relationship, each one, the relationship with you. And I thank you for helping us get to that place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for ministering to us as we seek you. We love you, Lord. You are so valuable to us. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.